Next case we've got on record is docket number 61924, Jean Charles v. Jean Charles.
Happy holidays.
Okay. Counsel, are you all set up?
Yes.
All right. And Ms. Stilts, are you ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Jamie Stills, and I, along with my law firm, Reeve Rubenstein & Bogatz, represent the appellant, Jeannot Jean Charles, in this matter. At this time, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, Jeannot requests that this Court overturn the ruling of the District Court. Reversal is appropriate here, given the blatant disregard for one of the most fundamental rules of law in a divorce proceeding, namely that each party receive an equal division of the assets and liabilities of the community property. Now, one of the issues on appeal, the erroneous calculation of the lease payments, has already been conceded by Ms. Jean Charles in the briefing and therefore must be reversed. As for the remaining four issues, overturning a district court disposition of property an award of alimony requires a showing of an abuse of discretion. Here, Jeannot will show that the remaining four issues did in fact constitute an abuse of discretion. First, the inequitable division of the community assets and liabilities was inequitable given the vast discrepancy in the division between Ms. Jean Charles versus Jeannot. Second, the Haiti property should not have been awarded to Ms. Jean Charles as her sole and separate property, given that it was in fact community property. Third, Jeannot should not have been ordered to pay $4,000 into the college fund when evidence showed that in fact the actual amount taken from that fund was less than half that amount.
Wasn't he given the opportunity to come back and rebut the $4,000 amount and he failed to do that? As the court had requested?
No, Your Honor. In fact, Jeannot did come back after the May 24th hearing, and he provided a reply in response to his disagreement with the hearing from May 24th, 2012. And as the record reflects, he provided evidence showing that only $1,960.52 was in fact taken out. The receipts that he provided in that reply were provided to the court prior to the final divorce decree that was entered in this matter, as the record reflects at page Record on Appeal 464 to 465. The final issue at hand is the issue of alimony. In other words, alimony should not have been awarded to Ms. Jean Charles, given that Jeannot already showed that he was running a deficit of $11 at each month at minimum without regard for the court's already arbitrary adjustments to his income, and as such could not afford to pay alimony.
Is that the only consideration when you look at alimony?
Your Honor, there are a number of different considerations at hand when the court considers whether to award alimony, but the basic rule of law is that it's only necessary where required to achieve a just and equitable result. One of the primary purposes is making sure that there are no large gaps between the post-divorce earning capacities of the parties, as well as considering whether the husband has the ability to actually pay any alimony. Here, the record reflects that Ms. Jean Charles actually earned more than Jeannot did. The record shows, according to her financial form, that she was earning more than $500 more than Jeannot each month. and even after the district court made adjustments to each party's gross monthly income, she was still earning nearly $500 more per month than Janot was. Moreover, in looking at his ability to pay any alimony, it was clear that he was running a deficit each month. The district court looked at his earning capacity and made adjustments that, as will be discussed, show that he was not allocated any money for necessary expenses each month, such as his living expenses. But even with those arbitrary adjustments, he was still running a deficit of $11 a month. Even so, the district court nevertheless awarded alimony with money that Mr. John Charles simply did not have to Ms. John Charles. This was clearly an abuse of discretion that necessitates reversal. Furthermore, in moving to the division of the party's assets and liabilities,
can you go back to, again, just the child support issue as applicable to 125, 150, and the factors that the court is to consider? Can you go through basically and give us an idea of what the court did consider and why you're contending that that violated the statute?
Your Honor, the child support issue is not an issue. Janot is not protesting the amount of child support that was awarded.
I'm sorry, it's not child support, alimony.
Yes, Your Honor. The alimony factors that were considered by the court were essentially that Ms. John Charles was running a deficit each month as well, and that that in order to ensure that there was more money for her to meet her alleged expenses each month, that Janot did need to provide $200 each month. The district court did not really go into many different factors. Rather, they ignored the fact that Ms. John Charles had a higher earning incapacity than Mr. John Charles did. And they also ignored the fact that Ms. John Charles had allocated herself numerous excessive expenses that they claimed added up to the need for alimony.
Okay, and it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of findings regarding the alimony that was awarded.
Correct, Your Honor, and that is part of the problem, this abuse of discretion. The district court did not elaborate in great detail the reasons for finding that Janot should have to run an even greater deficit than he was already running. And additionally, one of the factors in awarding alimony or considering whether to award alimony is looking at whether the party who is having to pay alimony has any issues with work or medical expenses. Here, Janot presented evidence that showed that he had suffered from throat cancer and had in fact had surgery and missed work due to his cancer. Yet the district court ignored this finding and nevertheless awarded alimony. Furthermore, the district court also erred when it awarded an inequitable amount to Ms. John Charles versus Janot with regard to the community property and liabilities.
Is that the Haiti property you're talking about?
Yes, Your Honor, in part. Part of it is the Haiti property. Part of it is also the vehicles and the household goods and furnishings.
Counsel, as to that Haiti property, don't we have a conflict because of the bankruptcy proceeding where he did not indicate that that was part of his personal property?
No, Your Honor. There is actually no conflict here because despite Janot not listing the property in his bankruptcy proceeding, the district court did not do any investigation or find any evidence, ask for any evidence regarding why it was not listed in his bankruptcy proceeding.
I thought the court applied judicial estoppel.
No, Your Honor. There is absolutely no evidence in the record showing that the district court applied judicial estoppel. While Ms. John Charles contended that
the court certainly referenced his failure to disclose the property in the bankruptcy proceeding, which to me would indicate he was applying judicial estoppel.
Yes, Your Honor. It's entirely possible that that might have been what the district court was doing. They might have been applying judicial estoppel. However, in overcoming the presumption of community property, a clear finding is necessary in writing, and the district court simply did not make that finding in writing. They said basically that it was not listed in the bankruptcy proceedings, so they would award it to Mr. Charles, but they did not elaborate that they were applying judicial estoppel.
Would that be a fraud in the bankruptcy court?
No, Your Honor, because the
title... To come back later and say, oh, I had this big chunk of property in Haiti that's worth about $80,000 and not listed in the bankruptcy proceeding so you can avoid the $16,000 cap.
Your Honor, I'm actually not a bankruptcy attorney. However, it doesn't matter because the district court needed to do their due diligence to overcome this presumption of community property.
So if we have it asserted, we have information in the record, the question would be whether or not he asserted any plausible reason of why he's taken different positions in two different legal proceedings.
Your Honor, it's entirely possible that Janot was told not to list the property or that the trustee said it was too difficult to list the property or because the property was in Ms. John Charles' name that it was not necessary to list the property. There are a number of different reasons why the property might not have been listed on his bankruptcy filings. However, the district court did absolutely no evidentiary finding and did no investigation whatsoever regarding evidence as to the reason for the discrepancy. Furthermore, Ms. John Charles would have lost the property as well if Mr. John Charles had listed it in the bankruptcy proceeding. So it seems arbitrary for the court to declare that Mr. John Charles should not benefit from the property not being listed on his bankruptcy proceeding.
She didn't participate in the bankruptcy, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, but the property belonged to both of them because it was acquired during the marriage. The community property portion would have been lost during the bankruptcy proceeding, potentially. However, all of these are speculations and guesses that would be avoided if the district court had done its due diligence and made sure to investigate why it was not listed in the bankruptcy proceeding.
Counselor, are we limited to the findings that the court ultimately makes in its order, or can we infer by a full reading of the record whether there was sufficient evidence?
Your Honor, we are limited to the district court's findings and reasonings that are elaborated in writing. It's clear from the evidence that there are possible reasons why things happened, but the court has to look at the district court's elaborated written reason for why they made the decisions they made. In looking at those reasonings and the writing, the order entered in this matter, it's clear that the district court did not ensure that due diligence was conducted regarding the property. Instead, they made a sua sponte decision that was not prompted by Ms. John Charles at all during the hearing and decided to simply award the property over to her as sole and separate instead of ensuring that evidence was presented that would overcome and rebut the very well-settled presumption in Nevada that all property acquired during the marriage, such as the Haiti property, has to be considered community property. Furthermore, moving to the other issues, the other inequitable division of the assets and liabilities, in looking at appellant's opening brief on page 9, it's clear that there is a vast discrepancy between the amount awarded to Janot versus the amount awarded to Ms. John Charles from the community assets and liabilities. In fact, Janot was awarded only the 1998 Mazda B3000 vehicle with an approximate worth of $1,525. In contrast, Ms. John Charles was awarded the 2004 Toyota Sequoia worth approximately $15,575, plus household goods and furnishings worth approximately $8,000, plus the Haiti property worth approximately $80,000.
Counsel, as to those two vehicles, I presume the vehicle of lesser value was paid off in full. Was the other vehicle likewise paid off in full, if you know?
Your Honor, the record is unclear whether those were paid off or not, but what the record does show is that the net worth of those vehicles...
That's why I asked the question, because even though it's worth maybe more if there was still indebtedness, that might have been part of the conclusion. So that's why I ask.
Your Honor, it's not clear from the record, which again shows that the district court did not do a full investigation of the property and the division of the assets in this matter. Altogether, this left a total of $103,575 for Ms. John Charles, in contrast to Mr. John Charles' $1,525 award. There was absolutely no reason to make this immensely lopsided distribution, and such a massively unequal distribution, with a difference of over $102,000,
Just so you know, you chewed into your rebuttal time pretty substantially. You've got a minute 38 left. Do you want to reserve that?
Yes, Your Honor. At this time, Janelle requests the court overturn the reverse the lower court's decision.
Okay, and you've got a minute 36 in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, I'm John Hawley. I'm representing Deliverance Jean Charles, and I'm pleased to be representing her in this matter under the pro bono project. Regarding the allegedly inequitable division of the community property apart from the Haiti residents, I would note that the parties actually stipulated on the record to the division of property, and that is contained at ROA 398. That's where the order begins. That order was drafted by Janot's counsel. Janot was represented by counsel at that hearing. Mrs. Jean Charles was not represented by counsel.
And that was part of the June 2012 order. Stipulation was essentially codified in that order.
The order was actually, yes, June 22nd, yes.
Of 2012?
Yes.
Okay.
Regarding the $4,000 from the UPromise College Fund, Mr. Jean Charles testified in court, and I quoted the colloquy in my brief, regarding the disposition of those funds. He testified there was $4,000 that he took out. He raided that account and took the money. Now, he did subsequently provide receipts that there was only $1,900. Unfortunately, he also filed a tax return subsequent that indicated that he only took $10 from that account. And I think the court was justified in not believing Mr. Jean Charles and his representations or his documentation. Janot also, regarding the Haiti property, disclaimed an interest in that asset when he might lose it in the bankruptcy. And all of a sudden, he turned around in the divorce and said, wait a minute, that's half mine. The court was exercising its discretion. This is an abuse of discretion standard. And the question is whether or not the court had a basis to exercise its discretion and make its decision. And with regard to the Haiti property, the court clearly looked at the bankruptcy filing, where Mr. Jean Charles disclaimed any interest to the property by not listing it, even though he should, if he was going to claim ownership. And then he came back to the family court and said, wait a minute, that's my house. No, it's not. He can't have it both ways. That's the whole point of judicial estoppel. With regard to the alimony, again, among the factors that the court can consider is the demeanor of the witness, and the court can also consider the credibility of the witness. The court made an express finding that Deliverance Jean Charles was more credible in issues of the financial condition of the parties than was Mr. Jean Charles. The court, in the exercise of its discretion, has the right to believe one witness and disbelieve another. That's what we do with juries all the time. Juries make those decisions. When a court is sitting without a jury, the judge has a right to make those decisions as well and those characterizations. And if the court doesn't have any questions, I'll...
Well, I got a question or two as to the alimony. It appears the findings aren't very substantial. The court indicated that there was essentially a disparity between the plaintiff and the defendant, and that's why it granted $200 a month. And that's all it said. What else did it consider?
I will concede that the findings of the court were not what I would like.
Right. However, so how do you reconcile that with the findings that the court should consider under 125.1508?
I reconcile that with the court being present for the lengthy hearing, considering the credibility of the witnesses in financial matters.
Okay.
And that's all I can do.
Okay. And the other question that I had, counsel seemed to indicate that you had conceded that there was a problem with the division of the husband's share of the rent, and you agreed that that was an error.
Yes, Your Honor. That's what we put in our brief. We ran the calculations, and I'm not going to defend something that's plainly indefensible.
Okay. So that part goes back?
That part does go back, yes.
Okay. Colleagues, questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Stills, you've got a minute and 36 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Three points on rebuttal, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm.
First, regarding the Haiti property, while Ms. John Charles' contention is that Mr. John Charles disclaimed the property, the truth of the matter is that none of that is in the record. While the district court made a decision because of the bankruptcy filing, they never elaborated that judicial estoppel was the reason, nor did they address any of the five factors that go into determining judicial estoppel applies. Second, regarding the college fund account, the tax return that was submitted with Mr. John Charles' receipts for the withdrawal was an incomplete portion relating to a different matter. The court never took either of those into account, or at least never elaborated that in writing, and as such made an error in determining that the $4,000 testified to was the correct amount. Finally, regarding the alimony, while Ms. John Charles contends that the court awarded her alimony because of the demeanor and credibility of the witnesses, again, this was not elaborated in writing by the court, and those two factors are not enumerated factors in awarding alimony. In fact, the district court found that credibility was awarded to Ms. John Charles because of her being a more credible witness, despite the fact that she listed in her financial form that she was giving excessive amounts of money to relatives for expenses such as haircuts, giving money to charity, and other such factors. And as such, the district court erred in not only finding her, I'm sorry, Your Honors, I see I'm out of time.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Thank you, Your Honor. As such, the district court erred in not only finding the amounts listed were credible, but also not even clearly enunciating or delving into the different factors involved with awarding alimony, most important of which were Janot's inability to pay any sort of alimony when he was already running a deficit each month in his income. Accordingly, and for the foregoing reasons, Janot respectfully requests that this court overturn the ruling of the district court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Counsel, thank you both for your arguments and your briefing in this matter. It's going to stand submitted, and this court will be adjourned until 11:30